Today, October 17th, is the feast day of one of the early Christian martyrs, one of the great heroes of the early Catholic Church, St. Ignatius of Antioch. Again, one of the great martyrs in the first few centuries of the Church. He became the third bishop of Antioch. Remember that St. Peter was the first bishop of Antioch, but then he went to Rome, and St. Peter died in Rome. That's why we're Roman Catholics, not Antiochian Catholics. If Peter had died in Rome as the bishop of, if he had died in Antioch as the bishop of Antioch, we would be the Antioch Catholic Church. But again, he died in Rome as the bishop of Rome, so we are the Roman Catholic Church, because that's where Peter, our first pope, died. But St. Ignatius of Antioch was the third bishop of Antioch. He's called one of the apostolic fathers because he was alive at the time of the apostle St. John. And so we have a direct connection from Antioch, of Ignatius of Antioch, back to John, back to Christ. Now, Ignatius was arrested for being a Catholic and being a bishop, and he was sentenced to death. And so he was put in chains and taken to Rome. But on his way to Rome, as the ship stopped in different ports along the way to Rome, he would write letters to the Christian churches, to the Catholic churches in these different cities, like Ephesus or Philadelphia or Smyrna. And the importance of these letters cannot be underestimated, because these letters, again, written, about the year 80 AD, show us how developed the Catholic Church was even at this very early stage. So these letters were written, let's say, between 80 and 110 AD. In these letters, St. Ignatius talks about the Catholic Church. The word Catholic means universal. So the word Catholic was already being used before about the year 100 AD. Ignatius talks about bishops, priests, deacons. He talks about the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. He talks about the Blessed Trinity, the divinity of Christ, the virgin birth, going to Mass on the Lord's Day, which was Sunday. He talked about Mary's virginity, the importance of prayer. All of these are in the writings of St. Ignatius of Antioch. What's so important about his writings is that so many Protestant ministers have become Catholic because of these writings. Scott Hahn and Marcus Grody and Steve Wood and so many other brilliant Protestant theologians and scholars began reading the early church fathers, and this helped to convert them to the Catholic faith, because they were under the impression that the early church must have been Protestant and that Martin Luther had just gone back to bring about an early pristine Christianity without all of the rituals and development of Catholic doctrines. But what happens is, when you begin reading the early church fathers like Irenaeus, Cyril of Alexandria, Ignatius of Antioch, they begin to realize that the early church was truly Catholic, that they believed the same things we believe today. They had seven sacraments. They had devotion to our Blessed Mother. They had a belief in the real presence of the Blessed Sacrament. So the early church was not Protestant. The early church was thoroughly Catholic, as it was for 1,500 years until Martin Luther broke away and rejected so much of our Catholic heritage. So again, if you want to read these, you can go online and read these seven letters from St. Ignatius of Antioch that he wrote to the early church, where he calls the Eucharist the true flesh of Christ, the gift of God, the medicine of immortality, the antidote against death. And he talks about the real presence of Jesus in the most blessed sacrament. He says, "I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible. And he talks about the Catholic Church. Wherever the bishop is, there let the people be. Even as wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church. Imagine that. You know, that these things were present in the first centuries of the Church. And lastly, I just wanted to read the last letter that Ignatius wrote about his upcoming martyrdom. He knew he was going to be thrown to the lions, thrown to the wild beasts. And this is what he wrote to the early Christians. He says, "I am dying willingly for God's sake, if only you do not prevent it. I beg of you, do not do me an untimely kindness. Allow me to be eaten by the beasts, which are my way of reaching God. I am God's wheat, and I am to be ground by the teeth of wild beasts, so that I may become the pure bread of Christ." He writes, "Entice the beasts to become my sepulcher, that they may leave nothing of my body, that when I am dead, I may not be troublesome to any man. I heartily wish that they may devour me promptly. I will even entice them to devour me immediately and wholly. If they are unwilling to meddle with me, I will even compel them. Come, fire and cross, gashes and rendings, breaking of bones and mangling of limbs, the shattering in pieces of my whole body. Come, all the wicked torments of the devil upon me, if I may but obtain Jesus Christ." Imagine, that's the words of a great Christian hero, a great saint, Ignatius, who did not want the early Christians to try to interfere with his martyrdom, but to let him be martyred so that he could obtain eternal life and be with Almighty God. So what a great saint we honor today, one of the early bishops and martyrs of the Church, a great theologian, and someone whose writings has led countless people into the Catholic Church.